Church, did you notice the bulletin for this morning? I thought it was wonderfully crafted. Let's give the Lord a big hand for those who ever put this up. And I thought it was just reflecting of the Chinese New Year celebration that we will be going through. Amen. And you know what? One of the young men came up to me and says, wow, this is a good design. So I told him, why don't you take as many later and put it up in your house for decoration? How's that? Amen. Okay. For those that are celebrating Chinese New Year, I'd like to greet you. 新年快乐,万事如意, okay? For those 家己人, 心里主义, okay? And for those speaking Cantonese, 新年快乐啊, okay? 日日有今日,年年有今日, 是不是啊? Okay, 新年快乐, okay? God bless you, God bless you. Wow, God is great, amen? Yeah. I'd like us to stand to read the Word of God, and I thought it's a great time to be blessed as we read the Word of God. And as this time of Chinese New Year, above all else, we seek of the Lord's blessings. Amen? Can we stand and let's read aloud together the Word of God. Are you ready? At a count of three, we'd like to read John 15, 5, three times. And this is a wonderful verse for us to keep to our heart, to memorize. And I thought this is a very powerful verse to remind us. Are you ready? At a count of three, we read aloud together. One, two, and a three. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One more time. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One final time, together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you, God, this morning. Thank you, God, for your presence above all else. For indeed, God, we seek you above all, God. And that, Lord, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you above all else, God. For you, O Lord, is my rock and my redeemer, God. So, Lord, we want to bless you. We want to ask, Lord, that you bless, Lord, forth, Lord, your good blessings upon the good people here. And also, Lord, bless this time. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seat. Okay. Church, a very good morning. And the verse that we just read, and this is the word of God, which is from Jesus Christ himself. He reminds us to be fruitful in whatever capacity as we lived for him. And he says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. And as I said earlier, it's a great verse to memorize, to keep to heart, and to be reminded of this big idea which the Lord wants us to indeed raise fruitful family habits. So this idea for this morning's message is this: remain in Jesus and obey him and you will be fruitful. So when we follow the word of God, it will bring life and fruitfulness. And I, for one, speak blessing of fruitfulness in all aspects to all my four children. And as you know, having four children, I believe the Lord has blessed me and blessed my wife too with fruitfulness of the womb. And blessings of fruitfulness from the Lord for a keen mind for my children, for diligence in their studies, for a life future partner, for favor with both God and with man. And it's something like the Job of old, where Job, he Virtually, I believe, every day he actually prayed for his children in verse 5 of Job chapter 1. And he says here, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified, have his children purified. And early in the morning, he would sacrifice burnt offering for each of them, thinking perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. And I thought it's a great responsibility for a father or a mother to bring their children to the Lord every day. And to me, fruitfulness is very important in life. So whatever we put our hands to, we would like to see a good outcome and a great return. And do you know that it was the Lord's very first command to his creation to be fruitful? In the very first chapter of Genesis chapter 1, we see the Lord's fruitfulness in multiplying. And the earth was in total darkness. And what he did was he multiplied from darkness to light. And when the light appeared, he called the light day, and the night he called indeed night from darkness. And then he multiplied again the great expanse of the water, from the water to the skies or to the heavens. And then he multiplied again the wet water to the dry land. And then on the dry land, he again multiplied seed-bearing fruit or seed-bearing plants to various kinds. And then the Lord multiplied the creatures in the sea, in the sky, and on the land. And then he again created creatures to reproduce on the land. So we see here in Genesis, in a span of a short 5 verses, the Lord repeated twice in verses 22 and 28 his clarion mandate, which I believe all of us, we have read of it before, which he said twice very clearly in just one chapter, the first chapter, to be fruitful and multiply, to be fruitful and increase in number. I have this plant of mulberry just outside my house, and I love watching the ripening of this fruit with the clusters of mulberries all over. And when I look at the scene, it makes me to be full. It makes me to be uplifted in my spirit, man. And I have harvested its fruit several times, and it tastes great. And I want to talk to you this morning about great habits of highly fruitful family. And we are reminded that Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches, that if a man remains in me, he and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Today, parents are not able to spend lots of time with their children because they have to spend long hours at work. And as a result, children are affected by outside influences like the television, the internet, the video games, and peer pressures from their friends. And these are playing big role in shaping their perspectives. So instilling fruitful family habits are essential for raising our children and future generations as well-balanced individuals. Today, compared 25 years or a generation ago, things have changed at a breakneck speed, both personally and culturally, especially of the unceasing bombardment of the social media and the unrelenting gush of innovations from the internet. Most of us, if we have a smartphone or an iPad, the first thing when we wake up in the morning, we will go straight to these gadgets. But one thing that never ceases, the ceaseless truth in the word of life and love when applied. When you cultivate these seven fruitful family habits taken from the Word of God, it will give abundant life and great reaping to your family. And after much reading, talking with a number of people, and as well as observing certain fruitful and successful families, here are seven great reminders which we can do to inculcate fruitful family habits. And working our way downward, beginning with habit number seven, discipline children consistently. The word is consistently, not constantly, yeah? So discipline is necessary in any area of life, especially in our home. And children, whether you like it or not, they are born with a stubborn nature. And at times you observe they are rebellious. And they are sinful by nature. You don't have to teach your children how to disobey. They naturally do. And the Word of God here says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. I remembered clearly, slightly more than 40 years ago, around this Chinese New Year period, my first and last temper tantrum outburst as a child. At the time, I was about 8 to 9 years old, and I was playing cards, interspersing between blackjack, Samcheong, if you don't know Samcheong, it's three cards, and gin rummy with my oldest siblings for a good few hours. My mother from the back of the kitchen shouted, "Dinner time!" I didn't want the card game to end because I was on a winning streak. And Mom repeatedly told us to stop, and he said for the umpteen time, "Dinner time!" And I got so upset. You know what I did? I laid on the living floor room, and I burst out crying and screaming and kicking my feet up in the air. And my wailing, childish wailing, went on for a good few minutes. And you saw the rattan broom there? Yeah. I forgot my mom had kept a piece of the rattan cane from the clustered rattan broom. Mom would keep anything that is keepable, and she would reuse anything that would be reusable for a later time. My eyes blinded with tears when suddenly I felt a numbing pain at the lower part of my legs. Mom really gave it to me, to the root of my problem. And you know what? She used the rattan cane even better than the lightsaber fighting scene between Han Solo and Darth Vader in Star Wars. She zing and zing only twice, and I got her message loud and clear. And it didn't take me too long to sober up. And I'm reminded and realized, it's time for dinner. And I learned my lesson well. And after the stinging or the zinging episode, I never had another outburst. And I believe that I was delivered from the spirit of gambling. To let you know the truth, I never have the urge to want to play any cards again. Praise God for that. There is much disorder when children rule the house, but firm and loving discipline keeps order in check. Clear boundaries are established and consequences are explained. And if the child trespasses beyond these limits, discipline is applied, and children are allowed to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. Parents, in front of your children, please do not disagree concerning the method of discipline. The worst thing a parent can do is to promise discipline and then not execute it. It teaches a child the dreadful lesson that they can get away with breaking the rules. And parents, note this too. Never use your hands to spank or discipline a child. Use your hands only to express love. Instead, use some kind of a rod of discipline, and the discipline is never to be applied in anger. And if a child has violated the rules or clearly stepped over his or her boundaries, it's a good idea to send them to their room for several minutes before discipline is applied. It does two things. The first thing, it allows the child to think about what they have done and anticipate the discipline. It also, second thing, allows the parent to sober, cool down, so that the discipline can be administered with love and with a calm explanation and not with anger. I know, parents, it's not easy to be done, but the good thing is you pause and ask God's help for the love of the Spirit to be upon you before you do anything. Let's go to fruitful habit number 6, wise money management. Church, I'd like us to read aloud this verse together from Proverbs 22, verse 7. At a count of 3, 1, 2, 3. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Money problems can tear a family apart or derail a marriage, which I've seen again and again. And all financial decisions should be discussed as a family, especially the big or the key ones. And I like how one family puts it. There is no his money or her money, it's our money. And actually, we realize that it is all God's money. And a good financial plan to follow is this 10-10-80 rule. We give the first 10 to God, we give the next 10%, we save it, and then we discipline ourselves to live within the 80% of our income. And the fruitful family want their children to know that they tithe, and they teach their children about the importance of giving their money to God. And it's vitally important to aim for zero debt. If you use credit cards, you should always pay the full balance to avoid paying the interest. And if you find that you struggle, that you cannot pay the full amount on your credit cards for 2 months, the card should strictly not be used. Or I would harshly put it across to you, it is better for you to cut up the credit card. The debt trap has net many families. And these fruitful families would intentionally work hard to keep a handle on their family finances. Let's look at fruitful habit number 5. That is to treat others kindly, and especially so to those who belong in the household of faith or to the family. One fruitful family said, we try to treat each other not as good, but better than we treat other people. He's talking about the family here. Some people are more polite to strangers than to their family, and we really try to avoid that. If you want a fruitful family, this verse in Ephesians 4:32 is a key must to treat each family members with kindness. Can we read aloud together? Together? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kindness here is treating the other person the way that you like to be treated. There are heaps of people who need a little kindness, and you can start looking within your family. And we can't find a more opportunistic time than during this Chinese New Year to show our kindness to those that are near us, to our family members. And when you have finished a meal, or when you are having a meal together, serve your loved ones first. And if they require transport, take initiative to fetch them. And it would be good to consciously pause and ask the Holy Spirit before the start of your lo sang. You say, Spirit of God, how can I shine for you? And have you ever thought of thanking your dad or your mom or your siblings when they labored to prepare the food for you for the reunion dinner tonight? If you have not, what a great opportunity to do so this evening or later. I heard some of you are having an earlier luncheon, you know, reunion lunch together. Kindness, I love what Mark Twain said. He said this, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Have you heard before the old expression, common courtesy? At one time, it was common, but today, courtesy is uncommon, especially so in our Malaysian driving habits. Courtesy is thrown out the car window again and again. I confess, I do so, okay? Courtesy is thrown out the car window. And each time when we get behind the steering wheel, we need to pray to be delivered from this spirit of discourtesy, from this spirit of rudeness. The word courtesy comes from the behavior of people who used to live at the king's court. The word courtesy is actually a compound word, the word court and the other part is courtesy. So it's the code of conduct for the courtesans that served the kings in the court that included kindness and helpfulness. So the men would stop and take off their hats and bow when a lady approaches. And they never let a lady open the door for herself. And their protocol of kindness gave birth to the word courtesy. And I was proud of my children. When we were having a holiday in Korea, we take train there. And during peak hours, there's lots of people that are all cramped in. And because we take the earlier part of the train, so we are usually seated first. So whenever they see an elderly person getting into the carriage, they would automatically stand up to offer their seats to the elderly. So fruitful families show kindness and practice courtesy with each other. Here's habit number four. Coping with adversity. John 16:33. Let's read aloud together at a count of three. One, two, three. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has already prepared us. In life we will have trouble. I'd like us to take note of this. Our spirituality doesn't eliminate problem in life. Lest we think all fruitful families are living trouble-free lives, I'd like us to think again. Every family has to face and deal with adversity, troubles, and problems from the death of a child, from physical handicap, or maybe a brain tumor, infertility, degenerative disease, and an assortment of heart-wrenching issues. So it's how a family deals with these problems that makes them stronger. True life happens when faced with adversity. For those here who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, please be reminded, I like to paraphrase this verse here. In this world, you will have trouble, but when you place your trust in me, you will encounter me, the Prince of Peace, in the midst of your trouble. And that's what exactly happened to me through my third stage of throat cancer, which is coming to 3 years now. I praise God for the remission of this cancer. And I found this deep assurance of peace that surpasses all understanding in my Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And it has taught me not to take the time and anything for granted. And consequently, it woke me up not to take my relationship with my dear wife, Fong Lin, for granted, realizing how very special and precious my Lord Jesus has bestowed an invaluable helpmate for me. And I reflected a lot on this as I was going through my recovery period, that the adversity of my illness had made us to be more sensitive to others and strengthen our relationship with God and with each other. And I like us to grasp this word, cope, C-O-P-E. It doesn't mean that the family members ignore the problems or they flippantly say, praise the Lord, and pretend it's not there. They face the problems and then depend on God's grace and power to help them live with it every day. And they consider themselves survivors in the midst of their pains and problems. Let's move on to fruitful habit number 3, intentional time together. Church, plan loads of time to laugh, spend time eating together and doing things together. Create intentional time to laugh. And we laugh a lot together as a family. And a sense of humor helps you to overlook each other's fault and lightens up the tense situation. I like this verse, Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. How very true the word of God is. And let me translate this into a simple text. It says here, basically, laughter makes you feel better. And these evidences are from the medical studies that laughter helps counter stress and fear. Laughter promotes a positive outlook. It also oxygenates the body, meaning give more oxygen to your body, so that when you walk an extra step further. When you run with a deeper and stronger energy. And it also helps to deal with pain, and it improves circulation. And I like this the most. Laughter boosts the immune system, meaning that, you know, once in a while we fall sick, but it says that, you know, you will fall sick less when you laugh more. So a cheerful heart is a good medicine. You know, I really love to see this again in our church, the manifestation of the holy laughter all over again, so that truly we enjoy the presence of God. And studies have shown that children laugh an average 400 times a day, compared to adults, only a measly average of 15 times a day. And I've learned not to take myself too seriously. And I intentionally draw closer to children to be like them and to laugh more. My wife is laughing. I don't know whether I laugh more in the house. Maybe she is trying to signal to me, yes, you better laugh more, okay? Yeah. Your home will be a better place if there is more laughter. Laughter is the best medicine. Spend intentional time eating together. In the Bible, there are altogether 1,014 verses that are connected with eating. And you know, during this Chinese New Year period, wow, nearly every day I counted we will be eating, okay? Do you know that Jesus loves eating? You do know, huh? Yeah, I do know. In the full gospel, nearly every chapter, he talks about eating, you know? Yeah? In the gospel, our Lord Jesus, he ate with his disciples, with sinners, with his followers, and with countless people wherever he went. And one instance in Mark chapter 2, verse 16, when the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Even in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus made an invitation to you and to me. In Revelation 3:20, here I am, behold, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Even the last book, Jesus' invitation, that he wants to invite you for a great meal together. An expert says that eating meals as a family together improves the children's nutrition. It also improves their communication skills and also a sense of belonging and stability. It improves too their relationship with their parents and table manners. And I like what one astute mother said. He says, you can play with the children all day, but when we are all sitting around the table, that's when they really share their problems and the best parts of their day. Family mealtime is about making connections and bonding. And the best conversation that took place is usually when we are most relaxed over the meal table. And we make it a point as a family to have dinner together as frequent as possible. We are not all the time successful, but we make this a must where we turn off all distractions, like there's no TV, no iPad, no phone calls, no emails, or no texting or message during the mealtime. We give full and focused attention to each other at the meal table. Spending intentional time together in some activities, like taking fun trips together as a family. And at least once a year, we will go for a fun holiday trip. And we place a high priority in building memories more important than material things. You can always buy stuff, but it rusts. It fades away. How many of you, let me ask you this, how many of you reminisce over material things? I believe none of us. But boy, do we love the stories of trekking in absolute darkness to make our way to view the glowworms with only the help of a small torchlight. Or the six of us cram in to a small hut, you know, matted with tatami. Or running with glee under the raining snow, having snow fights and building a snowman. Our memories are priceless and timeless. Parents, let me remind you, you'll only have your children at home, really, for a few years. With a blink of an eye, they grow so fast. My two older ones, they are already in university. And I'm thinking, where did all the time gone to? So parents, it's better to invest time with our children, and loads of it. There's a season of time which we can place that intentional time to be invested with our children. And let me say to you, you'll never find family time. You have to make family time. And unless you make it an absolute priority, other people and other activities will rob you of your family time. Let's look at fruitful habit number two, express regular love. And this all begins with a husband and with a wife who love each other and aren't ashamed to show their children that they are in love. I like this from the observation of a father. He says that the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. This instills a security in children like nothing else. My wife and I, just the two of us, we take a yearly trip together. Our marriage relationship has top priority over the demands of our children. And I highly encourage and endorse married couples to sign up for this, the marriage course. Yeah? Topics like love in action and building strong foundations will cement great habits in your marriage. And the first session starts on March the 27th. So if you'd like to find out more, find out at the info counter. Some families are more demonstrative in showing their affection than others. As I look back on my growing up years, it saddens me that I don't really recall my father hugging me and telling me how much he loved me. I'm certain my dad, he loved me and was proud of me, but he never showed it. Dads and moms, your children need to see you showing affection to each other, and they also need to feel your arms around them. Invest in lots and lots of love currency. And Jesus commands us to love one another. Jesus' word, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You must love one another. And love is the distinguishing characteristic of a Christian. This is fruitful family habits number one. Keep Christ center. This Psalm 127 is one of my favorite verses, and it talks about the Lord being the center, being the foundation in our family, in our life, in whatever capacity of life that we go through. Let's read aloud together. Are you ready? Together. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. We can have all of the first six habits, but if Jesus is not the Lord of your life and the Lord of your home, then the fleeting years you enjoy as a family on earth will be the extent of your family life together. But if Jesus is the Lord of your home, then your family can thrive and your family can be fruitful, be effective, and indeed be shining for the Lord. I like to make this call especially to those who do not yet have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have this personal relationship with Him and He is in the center of your life, as we cultivate and work these fruitful family habits, indeed, your family, even yourself, will shine for the Lord. Remember of this verse in Revelation 3:20, the Lord Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and He starts to knock. And as He knocks and knocks and knocks, trying to get your attention. And you hear the knock, and you walk towards the door, and you were about to open or twist the door knob. And Jesus makes this invitation, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart. And if you hears me and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with you and you with me." It talks about a personal relationship that the Lord desires to have with you so that when you know Him, you know that you will be on the right track. This call is also for those that have strayed or you have backslidden. And this morning, somehow, through divine appointment, you have returned and you have heard this message. And the Lord Jesus is wooing you, is calling you. come back home. Come back home. Can I invite us just to close our eyes and just bow our heads? And this invitation is for those that have yet to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and for those that would like to rededicate their lives to say, Lord, I want you back in my life. At a count of three, I'd like you to put up your hand, your right hand, put it up quickly and put it down again. This is a public indication to the Spirit of God and also to me, which I will be seeing, that you are not ashamed as you enter this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, if you do not know Jesus, you'd like to make him as your personal Lord and Savior, and those that have strayed away far, you'd like to rededicate your life, at a count of three, I'd like you to put up your hand and put it down again. Are you ready? At a count of three, one, two, and a three. I'll start with those at the ground floor first. You'd like to make this dedication, like to return to the Lord. Can you put up your right hand up high so that I can see and put it down again? Right across. Thank you. Now we start with those in the gallery. Any one of you would like to turn your faith and place him as Lord of your life? I'd like you to put up your right hand quickly and put it down again. Can I have a show of your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Okay. Thank you. I see one or two or three hands. Okay. This is what I'd like you to do, friends. For those that have put up your hands, I'd like you to follow with me in this prayer. It is called the Sinner's Prayer, a prayer that you are asking of the Lord's forgiveness, or you are sorry and that you want him to be Lord of your life. Can you repeat after me? And for those of you that belong to him, can you repeat with our friends that are doing this for the first time together as an encouragement to them? You follow after me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry that I've hurt you and pained you in my life where I acknowledge that I've done wrong. I ask that you receive my apology. Forgive me. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for me, and that you were buried, and on the third day, you arose from the dead. And this morning, I invite you to please come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, and help me to live this one life in honor and bringing pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Later, friends, for those of you that have said that prayer, I'd like to invite you to come out, and we have leaders and pastors here that would like to share with you your journey that you have taken so that you truly be a blessing, not only for yourself, but to people around you. Keep Christ center. Family that worships together, families that pray together, that have family devotions together. Jesus is not just a welcome guest in the home. He is the Lord of your home. Jesus is the hub, and we are the spokes. He is the heart of the home, or the foundation of the family. And the bottom line, and above all else, keep Christ center in your family. I just sense strongly of this call, especially for us men. We struggle with pride, especially. We struggle at the workplace when we have achieved certain acclamation, when we have accumulated certain things, and when we aspire to have more power. The tendency of our heart to be drawn away. And the Lord says, be reminded that I am the one who you need. When you run after the world, you will feel tired. You will feel confused. You will see that it will affect your family. So later on, do respond. And I'd like to pray. We'd like to pray for you as you do so. Let me very quickly recap the fruitful family habits. Habit number 7, discipline children consistently with love and patience and not with anger. Habit number 6, wise money management. Aim for zero debt. And fruitful family habit number 5, treat others kindly. Treating the other person the way that you would like to be treated. Habit number 4, coping with adversity. When faced with trouble, true life happens. Habit number 3, intentional time together. You will never find family time. You have to make family time. Number 2, express regular love. Invest in lots of love currency. Number 1, keep Christ center. John 15:5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And further down, as Jesus ends that verse, in verse 16, he said this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's the heart desire of our Maker, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fruit that will last, not only in your lifetime, but for eternity. Sometimes we simply need to regain our perspectives. What better way than to take a moment and to listen to the Holy Spirit? What is He saying to you in regards to revisiting and putting into action one of the fruitful family habits that will last? I'd like us to pause for the next 45 seconds and let the Spirit of God speak to you personally. And He will tenderly speak to you. And I pray that you will respond. Can we do so right now? Church, a reminder to us to place a high priority in building memories than material things. We can always buy stuff, accumulate wealth. But the Word of God, the Holy Scripture reminds us it rusts, it's eaten by moth, it fades. And the reality is, we can never take it with us. But when we make wise, godly investments, when we inculcate fruitful family habits, we will see the fruit born that will last. Remain in Jesus and obey Him, and you will bear much fruit. I'd like right now to invite all of us to stand. Can we stand? And this new year, 2016, We want to make a commitment to Jesus that He is Lord of your home and my home. A renewed family commitment to bear many fruitful family habits in Jesus. Let us pray. Can you lift up your hands and just bring forth the renewal of yourself, your family, to the Lord again. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see your people here. And we want to thank you, God, your children that loves you, God. Father, we say that we adore you, we love you, God. And that we need your help, Lord, to live in obedience, God, to your ways. When we do that, God, we know that it will point, Lord, to life. It will point, Lord, to the way, Lord, of blessedness, God. So, Lord, we say we adore you. We say, God, that you mean so much to us, God. Lord, we are sorry, God, that at times we have run our own race. We have journeyed our own path, God. Where, Lord, we have neglected our family. We have somehow, Lord, shouted. We have somehow, Lord, showed of our anger, our frustration, God. Lord, we need of your help, God. Lord, we say sorry and we ask, God, of your forgiveness, God. Father, we come to you and we give thanks, God, for this one life that you have given us, God. Let us live, Lord, this one life truly, God, to be a blessing and honor to you first, and then to others around us. And truly, God, help us to shine for you, God. Thank you, God. We know, God, of our children. We want to bring forth our children to you, God. Lord, thank you, God, for how you have watched over them. Thank you, God, for keeping and giving them a keen mind. And also, Lord, granting them, Lord, we ask, to be hardworking in every capacity as a student, in the workplace, wherever that you have placed them, God. And Father, like Job of old, God, we want to bring them to you, God, that, Lord, let your favor, God, and let, Lord, your anointing, God, be upon, Lord, our children, God. So, Father, we too come in rededication, God, to these seven fruitful family habits we bring forth to you, God. And we ask, God, that, Lord, when we discipline our children, it is, Lord, showing, God, of your love from you, Lord, to them, Lord, so that, Lord, that they are placed on the right track, God. Father, we ask too, Lord, that you help us, God, to take and spend intentional time with them, God, so that, Lord, we want to laugh more. We want, Lord, to have that closer and even deeper relationship first with you and with others, God. Father, we want to thank you too for your provision, God, for food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. We do not want, Lord, to take any of this for granted. Thank you, God, indeed, God, that you have blessed us, God. Help us too, God, to manage, God, our money wisely, God. That, Lord, you help us too, Lord, to be faithful, God, in our giving, God. So that, Lord, we know you are the one that gave and you are no man's debtor, God. And we are thankful, God. Thank you too, God, that, Lord, you remind us, God, that above all else, to keep you center in our life, center in our family, center, Lord, in everything that we go through, God. So, Lord, we place all of this before you and we give you praise, God, for you are good, you are wonderful, God. So, Lord, we ask of your blessing upon your people here, that, Lord, indeed, God, you will shine forth, Lord, of your grace upon us. Let the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and grants you his peace. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We worship together and then I'll close in a double benediction to bless you. Okay, let's pray. Let's sing. Thank you, Jesus.
'Cause there is hope in the promise of the cross.
That need to be blessed to be ministered, the front altar here is open. We do invite you to come. And I know that some of you are not well. The Lord wants to touch you. The Lord wants to bring forth His comfort and also His rest to be upon you. And for those that have responded by putting up your hand to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise, do come forward. We'd like to help you in this journey together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you lift up your hand one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. May the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with your people here now and forevermore. And Lord, let Lord your people here so shine. And for those that celebrate the Chinese New Year, and for those that are having a time of rest and recuperation, Father, let your face so shine upon earth, God, that, Lord, we will carry your name well, that, Lord, when people see us, we will be so evidential that Christ is indeed shining and indeed be lighted in and through our lives, God, because, God, our one aim in life is to desire to bring glory and honor to you, God. So, Lord, we bless you, and we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon your good people here. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.